If an individual keeps somebody else beloved and prefers and likes that other person and has immense love with another person, and further that person who loves and has regard and muhabbat and affection for the other person, if the other person who he has affection for explains to the first person that what do I like, what do I prefer, what are the things that I like, then that individual, the first individual, will be so happy that I've got a clue, I've got an idea now. Now I've realized, I know factually that my mahbub, my beloved, prefers this thing, likes these things. Then he will try his best, his utmost best, that I do those actions for my beloved that my beloved prefers. For example, a guest comes to your home who you love, and you'd really like your guest. And you know this guest who's about to come to our home is very good guest, azeem and great. And you realize that this individual, this guest who is about to come, he prefers certain things. For example, he prefers this dish, or he prefers to eat certain foods. Then first and foremost, what you will do is that you will choose and select that food. You will cook that food for your guest, so the guest is happy and will become pleased, and your love will increase. This is a general principle. You can call it a physical principle of life. So every person knows how to win over, how to increase the love, how to strengthen the relationship with one's beloved or friends or close circle. Yeah? For example, a person is always prepared that how can I please my friend? How can I please my beloved? So that he also likes me better, loves me better, and has more regard for me and affection for me. So a person will always try to keep his beloved, his friends, his close circle satisfied and happy and at peace with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given fadl to his creation, blessings and mercies and karam. Let's think. That Allah Ta'ala Himself has announced to His creation that what do I like and what I don't like. Subhanallah. Say it loudly, Subhanallah. Tell me, is there any simpler path to success than this? That Allah Ta'ala has defined to us the purpose of our life, which is to please our Lord. We have one objective in life, to please Allah. That's it. Allah Ta'ala said, whenever you ask, whatever you ask, ask for my pleasure. That's our objective. Because whatever Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with, look, the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, they were given the greatest reward. What was it? The radiyallahu anhum, Allah Ta'ala said, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. That Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. And I give the Sahaba such a reward that no nation before got that reward. And I make this a verse of the Quran. And you will continue to repeatedly, the Ummah will recite this verse. That Allah Ta'ala says, I am happy and pleased with them. I'm pleased with them. Allah Ta'ala didn't say anywhere that I gave them this much wealth, I gave them gardens, I gave them palaces, I gave them kingdoms. The time did come on the Sahaba that they had kingdoms, they had wealth, they had power. Sometimes in the days gone by before that, they didn't have clothes to wear, they didn't have dates to chew. And they went through the tough times, and they used to have the situation where, how can we eat? What shall we eat? And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with them in their company, they couldn't even imagine. And then when the years went by, when the good times came, the Sahaba said, how can we eat this when we couldn't even eat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Those days was hardship. Subhanallah. And people used to laugh upon the Sahaba. Oh, you think this is going to happen? You're going to get good times. Allah Ta'ala gave everything to them after. But this was not the reward in their eyes. The greatest reward they attained was Allah Ta'ala announced that I am happy with you and pleased with you. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala Himself, going back to the point, has announced Himself to His creation that these are the things I like and these are the things I don't like. Now it's your choice. Now aren't we foolish that we depart from this world and our Mahbub Allah is not pleased with us? We must be foolish and losers, that man and woman who know during the life that our Rabb is happy with these actions. We live 60, 70, 80, 90 years in this world, and we please our nafs our desires. And we say, what will please our nafs? What food shall I eat today that will give me enjoyment? Which woman shall I marry today to get enjoyment? Which type of woman should come into my marriage, into partnership with me? What type of house should I have? What type of car should I have? What type of husband should I have? What type of children should I have? According to our desires, we will mold our lives and please ourselves and do actions to please ourselves. But this is deception. The Sahaba Ikram didn't come onto this path of deception. Allah Ta'ala has given us both scenes. Allah Ta'ala has given us both scenes so that we can open our eyes and realize the Sahaba Ikram didn't like those so-called riches at the time when they were alive. Not even in the time of poverty, not even in the time of ease. They had one fikr, one constant worry that Allah, are you pleased with us? Allah, are you pleased with us? That's it. When they were praying, they were crying. When they were reading Quran, they were crying. When they were in prostration, they were crying. When they were in ruku, they were crying. When they were governors, they were crying. When they were Amirul Mu'mineen, commanders of the faithful, they were crying. When they were owners of thousands of acres of land, they were crying. When they had the sultanates, they had the kingdoms, they were crying. And everyone said, you have got kingdom power, your leaders, where's your Amir? He said, look, there's our Amir in the corner of the masjid. They pointed towards Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. But big groups come to meet you, where's your Amir, the commander of the faithful? They said, look, there he is. He said, this is your Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, yes, he's the Amir. And next to him was a dry piece of bread and some water in a clay glass. Why? Because they had one fikr. One in a clay cup, they had one fikr that may Allah somehow be pleased with us. May Allah somehow be pleased with us. But we have no shukr, we have no fikr. In the young age, we had no fikr of Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. When we were kids, we had no fikr. When we became youths, we had no fikr of Allah's pleasure. When we were poor, we had no fikr of Allah's pleasure. When we are rich, we don't have any fikr of Allah's pleasure. We have one worry. Worry. Open our eyes. We must open our eyes. We must bring ourselves into reality. Let's shake ourselves down. There's still time. There's still time to please Allah. The time hasn't finished. Allah is so kareem, merciful, mahbub, such a beloved, merciful beloved of us that within seconds Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with His creation. Within seconds. If only we take hold of the formula. If only Allah Ta'ala says, you come to me. Come to me. If only we say, Allah, we have come to please you. Allah, we've come to ask you to forgive us and overlook our issues. 40, 50, 60 years, 70 years, such men and women. But when their reality comes into their mind, conscience comes, and they understand the purpose of life, and Allah is merciful on them, then they said at that time immediately, Allah, we want to be yours. We want you to be pleased with us. Allah says, I'm so pleased with you now, I can't remember any of your previous deeds. Today's Muslim, you are even better than today's Muslim. I'll give you two rewards, Allah says, to the person who reverts to the deen. Allah says, Jannatan. I'll give you two paradise. So this is the reality, brothers. This is pleasure of Allah. Aha. So we need to ask ourselves. We need to think. I need to think. Is my mahbub Allah beloved of mine? Is Allah my beloved happy with me? Maybe he is, but have I tried to make him pleased? Praise Salah. Did I make niyyah that who I am praying Salah for? Who am I doing dua for? The first dua I do is for the pleasure of my nafs. Alhamdulillah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Yes, we should ask this dua. But the work of the ashik, the true lover of Allah, the first thing will say, Allah, are you pleased with my salah? Allah, do you accept my salah? Allah, due to this salah, please become pleased with me. And this is the biggest success that the Quran is defying to us. That Allah Ta'ala will say this, Ya ayyuhan nafsul mutma'in, irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. Oh, my servant, come towards me. I'm not asking for wealth. I'm not asking for any artifacts, any deal, bargain. When the words come from the heavens, Allah says, my servant, come to me, I'm pleased with you. Come. These are the words, aren't they? Then you will attain Jannah. Jannah, paradise. So from today, our motive, our objective, our purpose should be one. Radai ilahi, the pleasure of Allah. Now Allah is kareem. Allah is kareem. Allah Ta'ala hasn't put us into difficulty. He's such a beloved of us. Like for example, today I say that I'll be happy when the guest comes to our house. If he says, make this dish for me, this luxury paya dish, make this for me, that, or buy some food for me, or I'll only be happy with you when you buy or cook this for me. Or if the woman says, I'll only get married to you when you buy a jet for me or bring wealth for me. Or you hear about the ashikeen and the so-called lovers. And to please the so-called lover in the world, what people will do, the extreme lengths people go to. But today, we should understand that our Khaliq Azim, the greatest Khaliq, creator, Allah, our Malik, our Azim, Rabb, our Lord, we should say, Allah, we know what you are pleased with, Allah. Give us that explanation. What is it that you love the best? Allah Ta'ala says, say my hamd. Do my hamd. Hamd. My praises. Recite my praises. And Allah hasn't hidden it after that. Allah Ta'ala says, you can read Quran, whole Quran. Is that hamd? Or if I prostrate all night long, is that hamd? Is that when I've fulfilled the haqq of Allah? Or if Allah Ta'ala told me to read so many nafal, is that the hamd? Or if Allah told me to do so much worship, stay up all night long, or fast so much, or keep the fast all year long, all night? No, Allah Ta'ala hasn't put such strict demands on us. Allah says, just once, Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. Just once Allah Ta'ala is requesting, say Alhamdulillah once. What is this kalima? Pay attention. What is this? Say it. Alhamdulillah. Say it again. Alhamdulillah. Say it again. Alhamdulillah. Did this take hardship? Struggle? Did you have to strive to say this? Make effort? No. Allah says, when you say once, Alhamdulillah, my servant, I love this praise of mine so much. All of the praises of Allah, the recitations, Allah has made this the summary. Allah Ta'ala has squeezed it into this kalama, Alhamdulillah, for the whole ummah. Allah has given us a gift, that the praise for Allah, and Allah loves this praise, this recitation of praise, Alhamdulillah. So easy Allah Ta'ala has made it for us. Allah Ta'ala says, when the first time my servant says Alhamdulillah, just like you said and I said just now, when the first time we recite Alhamdulillah, then in reality what's happening? That between the heavens and the earth, the whole space is filled with thawab, reward. And when we recite it the second time we say Alhamdulillah, then the gap between the heavens and the earth was filled with thawab, then it will go to the highest of the heavens and it will fill all of the gap between the heavens. Then we said third time Alhamdulillah, Allah said, when you said Alhamdulillah third time, oh people sitting in the masjid, the Makki masjid in Bolton, you don't even know what you've earned by saying Alhamdulillah three times. For us it's insignificant. For us it's insignificant, isn't it? Allahu Akbar is very valuable. Very valuable kalama. This is very valuable, very weighty kalama. Because Allah is becoming pleased through this kalama. Allah is becoming pleased. This is so beloved to Allah. Allah says, that thing that you are reciting and I'm becoming your beloved and I'm pleased with it, then it must be the most valuable, the most weighty, the most precious, the most expensive. Don't think these kalamas are short or light or not heavy. Allah Ta'ala says that these kalamas are leading to my pleasure. Allah's hamd. Allah's hamd, we don't value it, we don't appreciate it. Allah says, when you recite Alhamdulillah a third time, then I put the reward to one side, then I come myself to my servant and say, my servant, what do you want? I will give it to you. Tell me, what do you want? Ask me, do you have belief in what I'm saying? Aha, this is the case. This is reality, my brothers. This is how Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with His ummah, with His creation. Allah Ta'ala says 70,000 angels, when my creation recites Alhamdulillah, this is the praise, total praise of Allah is encapsulated in the recitation of the word Alhamdulillah. So make niyyah today, brothers, that I want to praise Allah, to please Him. Allah said, when my servant says Alhamdulillah, then 70,000 angels are assigned to him, for him, that recite Allah Ta'ala, they plead to Allah for His forgiveness. Is this hard? Is this difficult? What is there left in this? Is this difficult? Night and day. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. How are you? I'm okay. How sad. What a waste of an opportunity. Brother, what should we say? Alhamdulillah. Then, are you ill? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I'm ill, or I've got a headache. What do we do say first? Oh, I've got a severe migraine. I've got a pain in the eye, pain in my stomach. Oh, it's okay. Alhamdulillah. That's the difference. So first say Alhamdulillah. I am grateful to Allah. If I've got headache, I'm saying Alhamdulillah for this reason. I'm praising Allah at that time, because Allah Ta'ala has given me many other gifts and treasures apart from the headache. So should I forget those ni'mas? Doesn't matter what situation I'm in, what condition I'm in, what difficulty I'm in, what distress I'm in. Today's become the norm. You ask somebody, how are you? How are you? What can I say? He argues with me, she argues with me, my father-in-law, and these arguments, I've got problems, issues, and especially women. Especially they'll open the whole file, the total office of files, going backdating all the issues. But no, Allah Ta'ala says that when you get an opportunity, when you're asked how are you, praise your Lord at that time. Allah Ta'ala says, then I become pleased with both the asker and the person who responds by saying Alhamdulillah. My brothers, our life, our body, our breath, our life, our energy is very valuable. There's a value on this, my brothers, on our life, our actions. This 40, 50 years, I don't know how many years got left, so many years have passed. It's very valuable. Make this life so valuable, so valuable, so valuable, that even the angels should be proud of us in the heavens when we return to our Lord. Who is this person who's come? He's so great. Look what he's become. 70,000 angels do dua of maghfirah for that individual. Forgiveness. After today, make it your solid total way of life that whenever you ask anything, say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala says all the salah, the prayer, whatever we pray, first we will say what? Alhamdulillah. This is what we'll do in it. You start reading Quran, start with what? Alhamdulillah. Start any action, start with Alhamdulillah. This is the great praise of Allah. And what is it encapsulated in? We say, oh no, these words are not worth anything. It's not worth it. This is such a valuable kalima that the heavens and the earth, they sparkle and with this recitation of Alhamdulillah. Allah becomes pleased with this creation. So my brothers, the praise of Allah is a very great action, very great action. We as the creation of Allah, Allah's given us a big opportunity. We shouldn't be lazy. We shouldn't lose the opportunity. After today, we should never waste these kalimat. Yes, that it was stated, a very great point, that we don't appreciate this kalimat. If shaitan, these kalimat, if he said it in front of Allah, then he would have never fallen into the trap that he fell into, if he had recited these kalimats in the right way. There was a pious elder, and he wrote a waqia, an event. He was on Hajj. He went on Umrah, on the pilgrimage that people go. And after doing tawaf, he stood up in front of Multazam and he started praising Allah. Hamd, he said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, what emotion was he in? What condition was he in? That he said the hamd of Allah, the praise of Allah. He knows, Allah knows the value. All the ibadat, worship Allah I've done, he summarized it in one word. Allah, are you pleased with me? I don't know if you're pleased with my worship. Are you pleased with my tawaf, with my sa'i, with my everything? So what did he do? He stood and said, Alhamdulillah, and he departed. Allah Ta'ala gave him tawfiq. The next year he came again. When he came the next year, he stood in front of Multazam again and said, Alhamdulillah, from above came the announcement, oh my servant, the previous time you said this, and you recited this kalima, until today the angels are writing that reward for that kalima, and they are carrying on writing, they're continuing, and they are tired. Why? Because once we said Alhamdulillah in Makki Masjid, one we're doing at home sitting down, and one we are doing in the house of Allah. In the house of Allah, there's a difference, isn't there? Yeah, 100,000 extra reward for the prayers and the dua. So Allah Ta'ala gives the extra power. So he knew that this is a great amal. But when we go there, if it comes out of the mouth, but we don't know that if you summarize all of the deeds, the summary of everything is in the praise of Allah. What is dhikr? It's the praise of Allah that we do sitting down. The kalimats we recite, they are the tarif, the praise of Allah. So all of these things, these actions, you can't always do long dhikr or tiresome, you know, become tired. Allah says, I don't want you to be ghafil, negligent, lazy. I want you to come to me so I'm happy with you. So after today, make this your habit, make it your pastime. Doesn't matter what happens, what are we to do in life? We are to recite these kalamat and make them a part of our life. Don't waste our life. And make this niyyah from today that Allah, whenever I recite these kalamat from my mouth, I want to make this intention on it that I want to please you. That's it. Whether there's pain or issues or problems, first thing to say is Alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to you. In every condition, I'm happy with me. There's no condition that we can say we're not happy. Look, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said that individual who says Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful statement, hadith that's come to my mind, that individual who says Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala straight away gives him four rewards, the person who says Alhamdulillah. Four rewards immediately attained. Number one, his tight situation, his problematic situation will go away from him. We have this requirement, don't we? Allah Ta'ala will end his difficulties. Yes, from this one word. Number three, for that individual, his hereafter will become easy for him. What does that mean, akhirah? His akhirah, when does that start? When a person departs from this world and the salute is given, oh, your time in the world's finished. Food, water finished, your bed is finished, mattress finished, your clothes you don't need anymore, you don't need the watch anymore, brother, your house, you don't need to live there anymore, leave all these things, leave these for the people who are living after you, come, depart from the world. And when these words come out, then we'll see the angels in front of us. This is the time of when? The preparation of the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala said that for the hereafter, your hereafter will become easy. In other words, from death, this kalima Alhamdulillah will assist you, benefit you from death ongoing. When the angels of death will come to take our root, to take us to the real place, when all of these things will be descending. When I say, this is my watch, the people around me say, quickly, quickly, get the watch off, quickly. And I made these clothes for him, I stitched them, quickly, take his kurta off, take this off, take the topi off, take everything and they throw everything to the side. They say, take this off his body. He has no link with the dunya now. He's left the dunya. So take everything off. Everything's taken off, isn't it? The beloved artifacts, the beautiful ring the person made, and they put a ring in the hand, in the fingers. And for the women, this dunya is everything. They make the bangles of gold, the gold ring and the necklace and the stud in the nose, in the ear. They got the gold watch, and the men, they have gold watches. And they do things wrong. So they have a ring, and then outside they're arguing. The daughters are arguing while the mother's dying, that I'm going to take this bangle, I'm going to take this ring, I'm going to take this necklace. I swear by Allah, this is the reality. This is the reality. This is happening in our homes. In our homes. Who loves who, my brothers? This is all temporary. There's only one being who loves his creation. That is Rabbi Allah. And we don't love Allah. We don't love Allah. Allah Ta'ala is the one who loves everyone, and nobody else loves us, and we don't love Allah who loves us and keeps us as his beloved. Let's try loving Allah and making Allah beloved. My brothers, these are temporary things. They're not necessary. Nothing's going to stay. These are all strange. These are all strange. I'm talking about homes, families. You say, this is my car, I'll take dad's car, I'll take dad's house, this will come in my inheritance, this will come in the will. I'm going to take this BMW, you take the Merc. And if the Merc and the BMW is left, the sons will be happy. Ah, now we're free, no one's going to ask us, I can drive it fast. Dad's not going to ask me, oh, take his mattress off, the sheets off, we're going to sleep here. He used to just cough and splutter and used to give us pain and hardship. This is dunya, my brothers. This is a reality. This is reality, my brothers. Understand what is the objective of life. We are the musafirin. We are the journeymen. And we have to understand that life is precious. This is all deception. Nobody loves anybody in this life. The love that Allah Ta'ala has inserted into the heart, the mother with the children, the father with the children, is temporary. Father, son. Rather, the biggest love is mother and children. And this is also based on dunya. If you stop giving money to your mother, mother will leave. The son that gives the most money, mother will go to his house. Isn't it? The son or the child that gives more money to the parents will like that child more and love that child more. And if I've got poverty and I've not got money or wealth, less will the parents regard me. And the parents will go more to the child that's got money. No, son, I love you. Mother, come. I'll come, son. I'll come one day. I'll come. Look, let me just... I'm resting at home. I feel more comfort at this, your brother's house. These are all temporary things. Dunya is temporary. The person who departs from dunya, he doesn't attain nothing. His house, his shop, his clothes, all the items. Everything is temporary. Everything is temporary. Let's understand the reality. This is all temporary. What is the reality? What is the solid thing? Alhamdulillah. That's it. The thing that makes us meet our Rabb. The kalima that makes us meet our Lord. That pleases Allah. Even if we have billions, but we have this kalima. Even if we have to pay billions, give your whole kingdom, lands, and give the whole kingdom. People have given that away and earned the love of Allah, the nisa of Allah. I'm talking about the previous kingdoms. People, Hazrat Ibn Adam, rahmatullahi alayh. Ibn Adam was a great, great personality. He was a king of his time. Big kingdom. He kicked it into touch. He said, Alhamdulillah, I've attained the praise of Allah. I've learned how to praise Allah. I have no need for dunya now. No need for dunya now. So my brothers, we need to pay attention to this. The time is very precious. And this is not a little thing. These are very weighty points. Bring them into your life. The fuzul, wasteful chat and discussion, that there's no praise of Allah, nothing that means anything, complaining, chatting, backbiting, we don't even know, am I going to recite these verses? If I'm not, I'm not going to get benefit. If I was to recite the good verses, I'd get benefit. Crying, complaining, criticizing, all the time. No, in every situation we say, Alhamdulillah, I say, I'll give four rubuds. Number one, that you had a problem in your life, you squeeze for money, finances, I'll take it away. Your problems will go and your akhirah will become easy. And fourth, I will give you freedom from hellfire. Freedom from hellfire. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the opportunity to recite these azeem kalama. That's come to our gathering today. This is a majlis of dhikr, a gathering of dhikr. If a person says once, Alhamdulillah, give so many rewards. Now you will sit here with your heads bowed. 1 hour you're going to recite dhikr. What kalamats and verses we're going to recite? Then tell me what will become the rank and status of yours. Should we not be happy and grateful to Allah? Are we complaining? That Allah Ta'ala selected us for this. Allah Ta'ala selected us. And those people who are listening at this time, 300-400 people, men, women, who are trying to wrap up their day and job and duties quick. That they zikr today, they quickly cook the chapati. There are women like this who quickly put the children to bed and they finish the actions and they sort out all their matters during the day. So they quickly in the evening they sit down and online they listen to the dhikr of Allah. I want to be included myself. There are women like this. There are people like this. 300-400 men and women are listening. So do you think Allah Ta'ala is not going to reward them? Such sacrifice they're making. Look at the masail the women have to go through to listen. I swear by Allah, they say, should we do dhikr like this? That we are working with the children. Can I do dhikr like this? That I've got the children and I'm putting them to bed. Or do I have to sit down on my own in seclusion? No, dhikr is afdal and great in all situations. Look what beautiful thoughts they have, the women. Subhanallah. So this is the situation. That Allah Ta'ala is merciful. He has given mercies to these people. He selected them. They're in this life of ghaflat. Negligence. We are in extreme age of negligence, laziness, wastefulness. The hadith has come to us before this about this day and age. The Prophet of Allah said that the time will come where people will be lazy, negligent, who will leave the deen. Their hearts will be empty, void. To this extent, the Prophet said that the masjids, in the mosques, people will sit and talk about dunya. They'll laugh. They will talk about worldly things. They'll argue over dunya. There'll be high volume discussions, shouting. People will resolve their disputes of business and dunya in the masjid. That time will come, said Rasulullah SAW. And is this not today in the dunya, my friends? Look at the situation. So this world, this life of ghaflat and negligence and laziness and neglect, at that time Rasulullah SAW mentioned, he sat the companions, his jama'at down, and he defined the time to come, this time that has come now. Promise, Ramadan is about to come soon. In the same way, we will keep this majalis existent, okay? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr and hamd and praise, regard it as very precious, never leave it. Ramadan is coming. Understand that we don't have the power and energy to do big deeds, go on umrah and etc. Allah gives us tawfiq, fine. But until I have energy and the strength and good understanding, I shouldn't waste the opportunity to do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, to praise Him. When you realize that dhikr is taking place in a certain gathering, in a certain location, get there. Not in your local masjid. It can be far. Did you hear that there's dhikr today in this area? People are coming to do dhikr. Include yourself. Join that gathering. Join the gathering. The more sacrifice you make physically in the world, the time, your resources, your effort and energy, Allah will give more rewards. To get Jannah, it's not easy, is it? You have to make effort. If you make effort and strive, and you say, in this masjid, there's dhikr, okay, I will do less work today, and I will earn a little bit for the hereafter, because we're hitting here as well, aren't we? We're wasting time. Shaitan says, no, pray salah, you've done tasbih, why do you have to go to the dhikr gathering? Just take a rest now. No difference made. Oh, he'll come on Tuesday, the next few days. Why not wait for that? No, say, why should I wait for Tuesday? Maybe I'm going to the masjid to do dhikr. Maybe that event, that gathering will be the source of my salvation. Maybe I'll get forgiven through that. Be alert of understanding, brothers, for akhirah. Create passion, desire for akhirah. Passion, desire for akhirah. Don't waste time. Earn. Realize, when you realize there's a majlis, dhikr is happening, this masjid, let's travel there. No problem. But now, mashallah, because you've understood what I've got to say, that dhikr is a great action. You understand? You understand? So we can't say we didn't know that dhikr was great. What is hamd? What is Allah's praise? Now we've understood this. So now to be lazy, negligent is not good. May Allah give me the tawfiq and you also recite Durood Sharif.